Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter, which we heard read earlier. Today and the next two Sundays, our Gospel texts take us back to the upper room on the night when Jesus was betrayed. It's Maundy Thursday, just hours before Jesus would be arrested and put to death. In this morning's text, it sounds like Jesus is leaving his disciples with a couple of riddles, saying, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And the second one, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." You see, St. John takes up five whole chapters of his gospel to tell the story of that night that Jesus was betrayed. Jesus had a lot of information to impart, and he had already told them so many things he knew that they couldn't bear to listen to anymore, or they couldn't grasp it. And after he gives them these riddles, they're struggling to put everything together. So they ask the good Lutheran question, what does this mean? And in the context of this, our lesson, in a little while means tomorrow. Tomorrow, because Jesus is just hours from being betrayed. Tomorrow, the disciples will see Jesus flogged and nailed to a cross, bloodied, beaten, and finally hanging dead upon the cross. Indeed, in a little while, they will be weeping, seeing Jesus' body being shut into the tomb. And everyone knows when the grave door slams, you're never going to see your loved one again. But unbeknownst to the disciples, while they were grieving and weeping, Jesus descended into hell to proclaim his victory over Satan. And then 3 days later, again, a little while, they do in fact see him. Jesus rises victoriously, bringing new life into their dead, despairing lives, turning all of their sorrows into joy. Jesus' death shouldn't have come as a surprise to them. He had told them three times that this was the Father's will, that is why he came from heaven. But just like you and I, the disciples' minds were continually clouded with sinfulness. Probably they figured that Jesus' kingdom was going to be an earthly one. That's what their desire was. But even though Jesus had taught them that he had come to redeem the world and to shed his blood for forgiveness and salvation, that old Adam was still working behind the scenes, causing them to believe that he was there to set up a political kingdom in Israel. Now, if you're like me, probably you've wondered several times that now we have 12 guys here, they've been with Jesus for 3 years. How in the world could they misunderstand what he was telling them? How could they misunderstand his teachings? And especially, how could they inject their own ideas and desires of an earthly kingdom into God's holy work? We'd certainly never think that way, would we? But we do it all the time, but not in that exact same way. But you create your own kind of earthly kingdom that you expect God to establish and defend for you. You fabricate illusions about life in this world, how your family should be, how healthy you should be, and how much wealth you should have. You predetermine how you think you deserve that your life should turn out, as if those things were rewards that God was going to give you for attending church and going to Bible study and praying. You think that when you pray to your Father in heaven, he really should treat you like that he really should treat you like that entitled child who is never told no, but it's always yes. After all, if God is this loving God who cares for us, why would he withhold our desires? He would want us to be happy all the time. He wouldn't withhold his desires, especially. He wouldn't withhold your desires, especially when it comes to trials and tribulations. When you're suffering and in sorrow, why would God delay in answering? But the fact remains, as I say so many times, God always answers your prayer. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes no. Many times the answer is not yet. Scripture teaches us, sometimes God delays. Sometimes he turns his face away from us, and in his own mysterious, loving wisdom, sometimes we must weep, we must lament, and we must mourn. The disciples had spent 3 years with Jesus. They had witnessed his miracles. They even ate of the bread and fish in his miraculous feedings. They probably figured since they had spent all that time with Jesus and learned at the foot of the Master, they would never have to experience sadness again. After all, for 3 years, Jesus has provided for them. But Jesus knew that his coming suffering and death and his crucifixion would bring a terrible challenge into their life. Their faith would be challenged beyond their belief. So he gave them this advanced warning. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. Now, it's not as if Jesus was abandoning them. He knows that the Father has his eye on the disciples. He once taught the disciples, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. You see, your Heavenly Father sees you weeping, and he hears your laments. He sees the heavy crosses that you bear in this life of tears. But there's that part of our old Adam in each one of us that likes to fall for Satan's lie that you have Jesus in your life, you deserve to be free from sorrow and tribulation. You sometimes believe that you don't deserve sadness and suffering. The devil always wants you to question whether God's out there, whether he really loves you, or whether he even exists. And the devil told Jesus' disciples these very same lies. Jesus' death just cannot make sense to the disciples. They don't understand that Jesus' death means their redemption. They don't understand that his resurrection means their life and salvation. They obviously don't understand how desperately they need a Savior. And as strong and secure as they thought they were, before the sun goes down the following day, Judas would betray Jesus, Peter would deny Jesus 3 times, and the rest of them would flee and hide for their lives. How could they misunderstand Jesus' teachings? How could they so quickly fall away? You and I would never do that, but we do. You and I are no stronger in faith than Peter. We're no more courageous than those 11 disciples or 10 disciples who fled and hid. So as soon as you say, well, I would never fall away, Satan knows he has his toe in your door. he knows he has his opening. The truth is, there are many times when your road will be dark and it will be rough to travel. And in such times when your road is dark and the shadows overwhelm you, remember, Jesus warned you that it would be like this some days. He warned you that you will weep and you will lament and you will believe that it is just not fair what God allows you to suffer. He knows how vulnerable his sheep can be. But apart from him, we're sheep without a shepherd. And that's what drove Jesus out of heaven to earth and his death upon the cross. That's why he handed himself over into death. That's why he came to seek and save the lost. He came to redeem all mankind from their sins. And he warns you that weeping and sorrow must come and sadness must have its day. He taught his disciples, and he teaches you and I, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The reasons that troubles must come into our lives is this: our life and death are connected to Jesus. In baptism, you were joined to Jesus in his crucifixion, in his death, and by virtue of being joined into Jesus, you are joined into God the Father. You are reconciled with him. And because you're connected to Christ, you too must pass through Good Friday to get to Easter morning. Jesus tells us that you must carry your cross as he has carried his. If you want to be in Christ, then you must carry a cross. And if you only expect earthly happiness and wealth and success, well, then you might just be rejecting the cross that God has given you. And with it, you might be rejecting Christ himself. Now, obviously, there's a huge part of each one of us that does not want a cross. I know I don't. I don't like pain and suffering. My wife will tell you I'm a pretty big baby. We never like trials and tribulations. That's why we call them trials and tribulations. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, God grant that we be at peace with our trials and tribulations. God grant that he may sustain us through those tribulations and that we may even learn to rejoice in the midst of them. But peace and serenity, as we would like to see it, sometimes, unfortunately, do not happen on this side of heaven. What shall we do? We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't judge God and his promises by the trials that we experience. They may seem too painful for us. They may seem too much for us to carry, too much for us to handle at the time. Yet God is still with you. His love is certain in spite of what your eyes tell you. God does not promise you to always have earthly happiness. On the contrary, he promised you that there would be times of trouble. He promised you that you would bear a cross, and the foundation of his promise is on Christ in him crucified. His love is not confirmed by whether you feel happy, whether you're in a good mood, or you do not have tribulations. It's not how you feel at any particular moment. God's love is confirmed in the empty tomb. It's confirmed in the risen Christ, which gives you that promise of eternal life by faith through Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy." Yes, the disciples wept and they lamented, but 3 days later, not only their sorrow was turned to joy, the whole world rejoiced at Jesus' resurrection. You and I rejoice because we know that Christ is risen indeed. And for a little while in this life, we must suffer. You will have sorrow, but your grief and sorrow in this veil of tears will not last forever. Jesus has defeated sin, death, and the grave, and one day he will release you from whatever cross you carry. Either he'll release it during this lifetime, or he'll release it when he carries you into eternal life, giving you eternal, perfect healing, where there is no more weeping, and he'll wipe every tear from your eyes. And one thing to remember is, this present life is only a little while, however long it seems to last. In the meantime, abide in Jesus. Abide in his word and his sacraments. Live a life of prayer. God desires to hear your prayer, and he desires to answer your prayers according to his will. When trials overwhelm you and the darkness is all around, call out to your Father in heaven with your prayers. And at the same time you are praying to the Father, Jesus is also interceding for you. The Holy Spirit is also praying for you with groanings too deep for words. The Father has given you this gift of prayer and promises to hear you even when you don't feel or see as if he is listening and answering. But he always does. Jesus tells us, God always gives what we ask for in Jesus' name. But many times we do not ask in accordance with God's will. Even though we pray, thy will be done, we want it to be my will be done. God is the Almighty. He knows better than we do. He created everything. So we continue to carry our cross, even when it seems that our crosses need to be removed. Jesus also suffered his little while. He experienced terrible troubles, much more horrible than you and I will ever experience. He carried the hardest and heaviest cross so that our crosses might be a little lighter. And now the world rejoices because we know he has conquered death and hell. We know we are safe with him through life and death, even though we suffer and weep and there will be darkness and sorrow. We know that one day we will pass from death into eternal life because you have his promise that no one will snatch you out of the Father's hand. Due to our sinfulness, our crosses cause us to lose sight of Jesus. In those times, hold fast to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. Hold tight to Jesus' promise that because of his cross, you have forgiveness and salvation. He promised he forgave Peter, who denied him. So just as that, he gladly forgives you as well. For your sins, he suffered this little while, and he is ready to forgive you of all your sins, even when you suffer weakness during your trials and tribulations. Most certainly, Jesus is ready to sustain you and forgive you when your trials overcome you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.